Hey, so that's the 25th of January 2024. This is our morning supervision and support call. Delighted to see you here. A couple of admin things, and then we'll kind of get into it. If you do have issues that you're bringing, please let me know in the chat so I can make sure I come to you. So a couple of things that we are doing sort of behind the scenes. This month is all about behind the scenes stuff, which is fun. So we have put together an SBCA workbook, which is, we did this for self-belief school and we printed off this really lush book. It's so, the quality of these are so good. I'm thrilled. So we've also done one for SBCA. I think the cost, Kay was telling me last week that the cost is around about £25 to get the whole thing printed and bound. It'll be in colour. The quality is really good. So we're not, it'll just be, you just will be able to buy it straight from the printer. But we've just found this company that do this and they do such a beautiful job. So I wanted to give that option for you coaches if you wanted to print off all the workbooks into one place and have a reference for yourself. You'll be able to do that, and we will send post the link and everything on the site in the next few days. So I just want to, I'm just waiting for my test copy to arrive so I can say that it's all good to go. But that will be something that you'll be able to get at any time. Second thing is, a few of you mentioned at the reflection retreat in December that you were interested in Bravehearts, which is part of self-belief school. And I know some of you here are already in self-belief school, but I'm going to make that available to SBCA coaches with a discount code of 20% off. So again, I'll put that in an email to you with the recording. So if you do want to join us, what we're doing with Self-Belief School is I've included an additional class called Bravehearts, which is specifically for business owners. And we do basically courage-based goals together. So there is a coaching call once a month, and there is also co-working time, which we're figuring out because I'm moving to New Zealand in 34 sleeps. So we're just going to figure out how to manage that. But there'll be a couple of different times each week that you can meet for co-working. And we have specific to business coaching calls. We had about 40 people in the last class just before Christmas, and so much got done. It was really fun. And these things are designed to sort of create the conditions that make it easier for folks to get things done. So if that is you and you're looking for some support, you also get access to the whole self-belief school curriculum and just self-belief coaching with me, which is about three times a week. So 3 times a month, sorry, not 3 times a week. That's too much for anyone. But yeah, so I'm going to make that available. I'll let you know when we are starting our next courage-based goal round. And that's basically a kind of 6 week period, which we'll do. I'm thinking about a couple of, at least 2 or 3 times a year, we'll do a courage-based goal together. And so we'll have this concentrated time of coaching calls to see where your self-doubt's coming up as you're doing things, giving you support around, how to break through, particularly procrastination, which is a biggie for all of us. And again, those co-working sessions. So I personally found it so revelatory to do co-working. I loved it so much. And as a result, I submitted all my supervision stuff and I now have my diploma of supervision. So that was hugely satisfying to go, oh, okay, yes, I can see how this totally works. Even though, as I said on every call, I'm so not, this is not sparking joy. I didn't want to do the written work. It was really tedious for me. That's not, wasn't really the part of the course that I enjoyed the most. So just to say that that option will be available with a discount. And also the third and final thing on the admin stuff is the times, we'll have another call in February for graduates. And then in March, at the end of March, the times of these calls will change. So for you here in the UK, we will have a call at 9 a.m. So it's just going to be slightly earlier. That is 10 p.m. my time in New Zealand. So it's kind of at my limit, right? So I'm going to be organizing myself to do that. And for those of you in the States and Canada, and if you come to the later calls, we'll do it at 5 p.m. Pacific. So it'll be just a slight shift in the day. But yeah, I'm hoping that that will suit everyone and be as, manageable as possible. 10 p.m. Oh my goodness. But I figured that was easier for you than a night call. I think the night calls at the end of a day when you've been coaching can sometimes just feel like the last thing you want to do. Whereas it's easier for me to do that just one person rather than all of you. So yeah, so that's what's happening with these calls. So from March they will be just an hour earlier. Hopefully that feels manageable for all of you. Okay, let's have a look in the chat. Jane, I'm loving that you used the belief buster on your own procrastination and had a miracle occur. Love that. But yes, tell me about what you're bringing.
Hi, everybody. Really nice to see you. So first of all, I still feel a real newbie to this. And while I have done practice calls, I've got a couple of real paying clients signed up now. I'm sort of,
Congratulations. That's no
yeah.
small thing, Jane. That's brilliant. Well done, you.
I'm still a bit surprised. I just had a clarity call the other day and she was like, yep, sign me up. I was like, really? Do you not want to think about it? You want to pay the full price? Honestly? Okay. Ooh. So of
Love it.
course now my self-doubt is triggered because I feel that I need to deliver. And I suppose what's worrying me a little bit is, she's done an intake form. So I've got, and we did a clarity call. So I feel like I've got kind of a bit of a handle on what her goal is for the three sessions that she's booked. And also what her issues are. Her goal is very much she's at a crossroads in her career. She's been doing one thing for a long time and she it really sucks now. She's really had enough and she feels like she's 59, she's got more to give. She really wants to kind of find her courage, take a new step forward, and she's completely stuck in procrastination and perfectionism and self-doubt. And she even mentioned self-doubt as something that's holding her back. And I could immediately see the procrastination in our call. You know, it's like, should I train? I want to do this. I've got experience, but maybe I should do a master's. Maybe I should do a PhD. Maybe I should, maybe I should, maybe. So she's got lots of options and she can't work out which is the right option. She's really scared of choosing the wrong option. I've got a few things going on all at the same time. One is that I really want to experiment with the tools and use them, and while also trying to make sure that I'm present and listen and don't impose a structure on her. So it's like managing that following leading. And I have. So I've got a kind of idea of I've sent her the vision board exercise to do before our first session. And I kind of thought, well, we sort of know what the goal is, we know what the problem is. So let's try and do some creative visioning. And I've asked her to bring that to the session to talk through. But then I'm kind of thinking, what should I have sent her the archetypes quiz as well? Or do we double back on that later? And what about all the stuff that's getting in the way? And I love the belief buster. Maybe we should use that. So I'm sort of tripping over myself with all the tools. And at the same time, sort of also conscious that I think there's a lot of similarities between what I've been going through and what she's bringing. So I'm really aware of how do I manage that.
Yeah. Your client sounds delicious, first off. So how fun to be working with someone who is really clear about what they want. Like she, it sounds like she's got a really clear idea that she wants to make some decisions, but also bust through her kind of where
I
she's
should
coming
also
from.
just add that after she signed up, she then said, "Oh, I've just seen you do mentoring too." And because she works in my field, she said, "Maybe I just need mentoring and you can really point me in the right direction." So I went back and I said, "No, you need to know your direction first." So there's a bit of push-pull going on there too. Sorry, Sass, I
Yeah,
interrupted.
no, that's that's great. And it and I see in your note as well that she wants a lot in three sessions. So I guess my first question to you is, what do you think is the reason behind all of her procrastination and self-doubt? Like, what do you think is causing all of this mind chatter that's going on?
It could be being a 59-year-old woman. It could be that she's worked in early years education for a long time and feels extremely unvalued, both in terms of the support, feedback, the way she's been treated, but also in terms of salary, career progression. So I think there might be some sort of historic erosion of self-trust there.
That assumption makes complete sense. And when I when you were describing her, maybe I should, it feels to me like there is something around not trusting yourself to make the right call and believing that there is a right call, the right decision here. So it could be a little bit about how much risk she is putting, or how much is real risk. Like, she's 59, she's thinking about changing careers. That is amazing. And also, how does that reflect, her current situation? Is she safe to do that, financially, all of that kind of stuff? So you could kind of check in, I think, around, what she makes of all of the maybe I shoulds. But also, I guess, letting her know that we can use these sessions to play with the possibilities. That this is a safe place where she can dream and scheme and we can figure it out. She doesn't need to stop at three sessions, right? Like this time. I think sometimes that can just take the pressure off, because often clients that, particularly when there is low self-trust, almost want us to tell them what to do, right? And so they're kind of looking for what's the right answer, give me the answer. And what obviously, would be probably better for her is for her to come to that the right conclusion for her at this time in her life. So I guess, that would be my first thing, is just, getting a sense of the risk for her right now, both real and protective, around the decision making. I love that you started with the vision board. I think the reason that I love that is because when you, as you know, I mean, you know this better than most, the creative process tends to bypass a lot of logic. So that dreamy part of her gets to have some outputs here. And it would be interesting to then see, when she looks at her vision board, like, what does she see? And kind of how far away does it feel from where she's at? That's going to reveal probably some protective beliefs around all of that.
I think my fear in a way is that she will find it difficult to sit in that space of sort of play and possibility, and she'll keep trying to kind of steady herself by reaching, doing exactly what you said, reaching for the, I could do this, shall I do this? And I suppose what I'm aware is that my entanglement might sort of show up a little bit, because already she's saying, if anything were possible, gosh, what I'd really love to do is work with people to make films exploring mental health. And I'm instead of just following and going, and I'm already, my head is immediately going, Yeah, you've got no experience of that. You're not working in partnership with any organizations. You're not embedded in the field. You don't, this is completely new. You've said you need to earn money. This is not going to be a quick way to earn money, let me tell you. I'm kind of immediately going
You
into.
want to protect her from her own dreams.
Or I want to bring what I think is my experience to bear to make sure that she doesn't fall down holes and go down wrong roads. I think that's at the heart of why I've brought her to this session, is that I can already feel that I want to step in with my opinions and experience rather than seeing what would happen if she were to take this. You see, I'm already wanting to go crazy dream, which is bad.
So what do you think that might be like for her if you do that? Because that's a choice you can make, right? Let me give you some advice.
Yeah. And she's saying to me, she is saying, well, I do, yes, I know I need the coaching. I need to get clear, but I want your advice too. So I'm like, how do I navigate the two things? What would it be like for her? Well, I think the most important thing is not finding an answer. It's growing her self-trust and her self-belief. And so if I slam it down straight away, I'm just saying, don't trust yourself. So that feels not helpful. But maybe if I can ask questions so that she can sense check, interrogate her own ideas and come to her own conclusions, that will be more empowering for her.
You said a really, what I think is a really important thing. The most important thing here is that she grows her self-trust. And so I would even probably name that at the start of our working relationship and then keep saying that. And you can even name, my sense is that you may want me to, or you think I have the answer for you, or you want me to give you the answer. And I want, I feel like the most important approach here with coaching is to help you find the answer. So I'm going to be looking at how can I support you to develop some self-trust. And she may resist that a bit, and you can name that too. That might feel, like that might feel like not what you kind of want, that you do want someone to tell you the answer. But what, and you can play that through. So what happens if I did give you answers, So you're actually just letting her see, oh, this might be a bit crunchy, but it is actually going to give her a tool set that she can use now and forevermore.
Which, of course, is exactly what I'm doing here with you. I'm going, I've got this client, I have a hunch, but is it the right one? Am I doing the right thing? Should
And just notice I'm asking lots of questions. So you're thinking about, oh, what would that be like? What are the options here?
Great, thank you.
Oh, just also want to reflect back this kind of parallel process that we get into with our clients when we get a bit entangled, where we're going, oh my God, I'm doing the same thing, right? That's super common. That happens all the time. And what I would say is, part of this is also going to enhance your self-trust. Like, can you trust yourself as a coach to work with someone who's also looking for self-trust? The thing that I think is so great about really articulating, oh, it's self-trust that's the thing we need to grow, is that that then gives you a bit of a steer as to what the approaches and tools might really help her. Right. So in that, in the self-trust stuff around growing your inner wisdom, your own sort of sage energy, there's a great one in there about those, the dilemma, sitting with a dilemma. What should I do next is a great question to ask. What's my next career move? And then, because what can happen when we don't have a lot of self-trust is we fall into all or nothing thinking. It's got to be this or it's got to be that. I've got to find the right answer, all that jazz. And when you use the dilemma process, you basically look at all the different options. So that could be a really good way of just surfacing all the things that are in her mind right now. And then using a bit of the body compass and intellect, you know, bringing in your intellect stuff, right? Because we always need a bit of that too. Otherwise, we'd all be floating around the world. To see, you know, what actually has a bit of a pull for you, you know, and there's no rush, right? Maybe you want to sit with it for a couple of weeks, month. See what about that excites you, what options excite you. And also, you know, knowing that there are lots of ways to do this. It could be that she stays in her job right now and has a really beautiful blooming hobby on the side. Could be she reduces her hours and goes to film.
She is in a rush. I mean, she really pushed me to start the sessions earlier than we are, and I said I had no availability, but she's really pushing for answers with urgency. But and we can explore that, what that's about. But I think she's left her job, but I don't think it is money, because she's one of her options she's thinking of is to go into full-time education training. So
Sure.
yeah. But that's a question around what the rush is all about, where it's coming from.
And I think when we can name for our clients what we're saying, you seem to be in a real rush. What's that about? What do you make of that? Right? You're just naming what you're seeing, and it helps them to go, am I in a rush? Well, I don't like that I'm in a rush. Why is she saying that? You know, and then kind of allowing her to just be with that feeling of rushed. What does that do for her or not? You know? So to sort of sum up, because I know we've kind of go around the houses a bit with this stuff. You've got a client who's in a rush and hasn't got a lot of self-trust around making the right next decision. The most important thing is to help her slow down and develop self-trust, right? And noticing that your entanglement is related to, oh, I'm going to have an urge to give advice, an urge to rescue her, and just paying attention when those urges come up. What might that be like for my client? Oh, I've already decided that's not how I want to work with this person. It doesn't feel good. How can you kind of manage yourself so you just minimize the chances of that happening? And it might pop up, and then you can say to yourself, oh, I've given you some advice here. That probably wasn't what I was hoping to do. You know, can I reverse that? You know, it's like the judge saying to the jury, please discount the last question, right? You can make that some, you know, a fun way of sort of, you know, communicating that.
Thank you. I just realized this is the first time I've ever been in a supervision session, and I'm the first
How
person
do
to
you feel?
speak. I'm kind of excited. I can, yeah.
Good.
Great. That's
And
really
that, I think
helpful.
that's the thing, right? The whole purpose of it is to go, oh, here's what I see, and what do you think some options could be, and what feels good to you? Like, it's all about like seeing what we feel into that discomfort, but shining a bit of a light on it all.
And not be and what I'm also hearing is not being afraid to bring the process into the room, not being afraid to share what's going on for me and see how that resonates with her. Like, I don't have to have all the answers at all. It's about bringing those questions into the space too.
What do you think the benefit of doing that is when you do that?
Well, it changes the relationship into a relationship that's more exploratory and more collaborative and more equitable, maybe. And in doing so, it empowers the client because I'm not sitting in a space of authority. Yeah, interesting.
And I honestly think it is a skill to develop as a coach, like to name what's not being said in the room, but is in the room. Like when we can name that, oh, there seems to be a dynamic here where you're in a rush. And rather than talking about, how can we manage your rushingness, right? It's more, you seem to be in a rush. Tell me more about that. Am I wrong there? Like you're actually giving the client the opportunity to witness their own experience.
Yeah. So I'm alongside. I'm not trying to lead. Yeah. Or even follow. I'm alongside. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you've got a kind of, a rushing to me can lead to panic, and panic can lead to demand. Right, because there is a false sense or a sort of a cultivated sense of urgency that might not actually exist, right? It's just coming from that sense of panic because we want to rush over the discomfort of whatever we're trying to avoid, usually. And the discomfort of not knowing, the discomfort of being the learner rather than the expert after you've spent years and decades in a field where you know yourself. Makes total sense.
That all, sorry, I'm really conscious of taking up time, but that also makes me think of when I run writing workshops, I always start with the breath. We always, I always, everybody arrives, and the first thing we do is we all just take some breaths and land in our body. And I see everybody just shift so much in terms of the presence that they bring and how they relax, and I'm just almost wondering about starting a coaching session with that, so that she comes from a place of, oh, I'm safe, I'm grounded, rather than, right, let's sort this. Yeah,
I do that for every single coaching session, particularly group sessions, because I see the same experience. And
yeah.
People arrive and they're a bit like, do I belong here? And this shitty thing just happened in my family. And, and most of us are doing too much. So offering that place of rest and safety is huge. Sounds
okay.
like, and just notice, right, you're already coming up with approaches where you're trusting yourself to be able to support this person. Bloody brilliant. How lucky she is to have found you. Does that feel complete for you, Jane?
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd love to know how it
yeah.
shakes down. Yeah.
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 Mm.
Nice one.
Thank
Thank
you.
you for sharing. Thank you. Really cool. Yeah, love the comments in the chat too, Vicky. That's a great question. What if there's no right decision? Well, that's kind of the way I operate in the world, is there probably isn't a right decision. But can I kind of be with myself whatever happens? There's just endless choices, right? Endless timelines we could go down. But
I actually have this argument with my husband on a fairly regular basis, where he says, just make a decision. There is no right choice or wrong choice. And I'm like, there is, there is.
There's got to be. Yeah. Isn't he a therapist? Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Jane has got it going on. Yeah. Really cool. Really cool. Love it. Thank you, Jane. Anka, tell me about your question about integration of the archetypes. Let's talk.
So first, I like to read, Jane, I love you. You're always so, I love how you just bring it as it is. And then you're like, I don't know, what do you think? And I feel like we always have, we were in a pod together, right? And I always feel like she gives us full insight into exactly what we feel ourselves. And it's much easier to talk than if it's kind of like, I should this and I don't want to say, or so. I love this. So please always bring your stuff. I think we all benefit from it.
Love it.
Okay, so my when Jane and in the beginning said the archetype thing, shall I share this questionnaire? I don't know how you all deal with that, but I'm working with two women at the moment as self-belief coach to coaching clients. I call it self-belief life coaching with an emphasis on self-belief, and they totally love it. And I have, like, both of them are super chatty, and they are blooming with their own, like, it's kind of like we're together in the process. And I never got a chance to let them have this questionnaire and do this sort of thing with the archetypes, but we just go with how things are and use the tools. And it's not really needed, but I think it would also be beneficial for them to have this other place. Like how do you deal with that, Sarah, or maybe all of you?
So I guess the first thing to say is all of the tools that you've learned in SVCA are all optional, right? And what I've tried to do is structure the program to say this is typically what I would recommend the order to kind of tackle them in. Like I think sometimes if we start with let's talk about your self-belief really too early, there's so much resistance that we kind of need to do a bit of clearing there. But again, sometimes there's no right, there's no right way. And this really comes back to what Jane, exactly what Jane's brought, can we trust ourselves to kind of figure this out? So it sounds like from what you've shared, Anka, that for whatever reason, you didn't bring the archetypes in at the start. That didn't feel like it was right for either of these clients. So you can always just share with them, hey, look, I'm noticing this pattern, particularly if you're noticing patterns, I think that can really help. Noticing this pattern where this belief comes up or this behavioral response to self-doubt comes up. There's this archetypes quiz you can do that will help reveal some of that and might be fun. Right, so you can kind of offer it as like an invitation. Would that feel helpful? There's no right time to bring that in. It's really up to you, whatever feels good. I think sometimes what the feedback I've had from clients, which may help, is when they've read their archetypes, particularly when they're one-on-one clients and they get the three, top three. Like, oh, this helps me put the pieces together. And the fact that this is all written down makes me think I'm not the only one. Right. So they're the two bits of feedback that I get all the time is, that sense of putting some jigsaw pieces together within themselves and recognizing that this is, part of being a human. So yeah, I don't know if that helps you, Anka, just in how to approach it.
Yeah, I love the other lens, like to offer it as optional. They can do it themselves and then get the other lens. And then the next session we can talk about what that could mean or how that shows up for them and stuff like this. And I think also what's a point in both of them is that their predominant issue is not the self-doubt. Self-doubt is in the background, like, but it's so in their being that they don't even know that it's their operating system. And there are so many other topics they always bring that's why it was not so predominant. So I think that's a good point. Like if there's a lot of self-doubt going on, or if that becomes for like top of mind kind of, or top of block, then maybe that's a good time to really push for it, and otherwise to see if it's an optional thing they want to do or and talk about or not. So thank you very much.
Love that. I guess the other thing I would add is if I get a client, like actually like someone like Jane's client, where my working assumption is self-trust is really low, I might actually hang off giving the archetypes because sometimes that can feel like, oh, now that's the answer, right? And even though, like I always say, this is not a description of your personality, right? They're descriptions of your experience and your response to self-doubt. It's just a pattern, right? But it's not who you are, and there's a life on the other side. But I think when someone has quite a lot of low, a lot of either scapegoaty energy that you pick up, or you suspect there's quite a lot, not much self-trust, and they are in that place of just give me the freaking answer. Then sometimes, we're better off starting with, their own kind of wisdom and figuring some stuff out first. And then it's in like an add-on. You've already figured this out. You may even work with a client over a period of time. We think actually there'll be no real benefit of you understanding your archetypes. And notice, like when you've got high scapegoat, right? Remember, we go round the compass, right? So if you've got a lot of scapegoat, we help that with self-trust. So There is a relationship between low self-trust and scapegoat energy. So you and again, the irony, we have to sort of trust ourselves to just make that call. Love that comment, Vicky. I had a client like that and I gave her the Meet Your Inner Protector audio. She found that super helpful. Yeah, so that can sometimes be a really an alternative maybe if someone's aching for something to start with. Really cool. Vicky, how are you doing? I know you're due soon. Yeah, you're in a cafe right now, so it might be hard to talk.
I don't know how noisy it's going to be. I'm due on Sunday, so I'm just kind
Oh,
of
love.
here for observation, not really taking any clients one to one anymore. Still got groups that I'm looking after, new people coming in, a lot with what Jane's sort of saying, a lot of this like just fix me and tell me all the answers and tell me exactly what to do, and trying to kind of navigate that in group settings where it's like, okay, what's going on here? And what if there's not a right answer? And what if there's not a correct way to do it? And what would feel good for you to move forward with that? Whilst kind of balancing that expectation of, you know all the answers, just tell me which one to do.
And I think the question is really like protect me from things going wrong, right? That's the real longing underneath those questions.
I can't do, which is, I think, a lot of what Jane was kind of tapping into, that whole like you want to protect people and help them make the right decisions. And I'd love to say everyone comes in my group and then they're all millionaires in 90 days and it's miraculous and I have this amazing system, but it literally doesn't work like that. And I did have someone joining who's been burned before, gone into coaching programs where they've said just follow this system. And and she was very cautious, quite rightly. And I just then she said, "Have you got any examples of people that have come through your program and could have got themselves fully booked?" And I was like, "Yes and no. Sometimes people are busy, sometimes they're not." I said, "I just don't really work like that. I think it's more important to me that you can come through it knowing yourself more, trusting yourself more, showing up, finding ways to do things in alignment than just following a process and becoming fully booked." But not liking how you feel while you're doing it. So, take it or leave it.
Gosh, that's so your healthy adult self, isn't it? Like we can all feel that. Like that's just because I think even though there is that longing, and who among us, right, haven't listened to, okay, confession, hours of Abraham going, all right, what's the freaking answer? How do I manifest it? But actually, I think we all know underneath that there isn't really a right answer. We're just feeling a bit scared because we're in a we're in a full house of risk when we're running a business. That's the truth of it.
Just holding that uncertainty and being okay with that's normal. That's how it feels to run a business, to make a decision every single day about what to do, how to spend your time. I can give you some options, but I can never tell you what's exactly right or wrong, and I can't guarantee that you'll get the outcome that you'll want. What I'd love is that you take some action, you feel proud of yourself, you learn something, and you keep going.
Exactly. You're reminding me, there is a whole body of research about these things they call the core five, which are like these five values of or five characteristics of successful entrepreneurs. When you read them, you start to see, I think you actually did all of this research with business study students, right? Who tend to by and large be young, ambitious men when nothing bad has really happened to them. Because what two of them are risk taking, right? Your capacity or your tolerance for risk taking, and the your low neuro, what they call neuroses. So any kind of like, where you get kind of caught up in your own self and the procrastination and overthinking and all of that jazz. So you think about a person who has low neuroses. A, they just don't sound like people I want to be friends with. And B, people who are high risk takers. They are high risk takers usually because they think the world is constructed to support them, right? Universe is on their side, and actually culture will be on their side. So I take that all with a pinch of salt. However, I think the more we are able to build a sense of comfort around taking some manageable risks, I think that is really the secret sauce with business ownership. And it's why I think, when you do this work and you're a business coach, you bring something into that part of the work that a lot of business coaches just won't think about. I think it does set you apart a bit because, as we all know, most of the business coaches out there are like, follow my formula. Because it worked for me, because I'm a high risk taker, nothing bad's happened to me.
Yeah, and I'm going to ignore your self-doubt and your situation,
Just push through
and
it.
yeah,
Push
just
through
that's
it.
it. Just I told you, I gave you the plan. Just do it.
Do the plan. Yeah, amazing. Love that, Vicky. I also love that you are taking care of yourself. It sounds like you're focusing in on your group stuff, so you've got some space and time. Yeah. Hey, best of luck for Sunday or the day around days around that, whoever, whenever. Have fun though. What a great time to be bringing a new life into the world. Yeah, such an exciting time to be alive. Definitely. Yeah. Ah, it's so good. Yeah, I agree, Anka. It doesn't go with karma. Like, this is the thing with manifestation and all of that stuff, right? Like, I'm just going to make it happen for myself. And it ends up becoming a bit of a shopping list for our egos. What, and there is this thing, which I love, a concept called Pravda Karma, which is basically in this lifetime, what is the most, the best experiences you can have to grow your soul, right? The part of you that is here on a mission. If you believe in that, I choose to believe that we're all here for reasons. I don't think there's one single one. And it's like, well, maybe, if I did win the lottery, what would that cut me off from in my soul's growth? So I might have that, high financial security, but actually my creative security is plummeted because there's no, there isn't a drive for that. So, good and bad. But yeah, love that. I'm interested in the thesis that argues that the core five entrepreneurial characteristics are a bit out of alignment with karma. Love that. Cool. Anyone else bringing anything today? Yvonne, Vicky, you got anything you want to bring? All good. Thanks.
I just wanted to just add on to there as well, just onto the back of what Jane was saying, because I still feel a bit of a kind of novice in this industry, but I'm finding more and more, or the more experience I get, is clients tend to be bringing very similar issues. And I don't know if that's coincidence or if it's a kind of like underlying human thing. For people to be doing the same thing. And I had a similar situation where I worked with a client for four sessions, and in session one she literally asked me, because I, at the end I was asking, is there any other questions? She was like, so what do you want me to do? asking me what is the answer, what do you think I should be doing then? And I was like, I don't think you should be doing anything, and trying to explain that to her. And I actually had a bit of a panic because, again, because it was such a short time working with her. By the time it came to our last session, I had a bit of a self-doubt in thinking that if nothing's changed from the first session to the last, then I have failed at my job as her coach. And then so I was going into the last session a little bit apprehensive, but trying to just keep really grounded with it. And what happened was she came in and she was like, I just feel so much calmer. And it wasn't the things that she was doing that had changed. I mean, she had made some tweaks, like that was it was tiny little tweaks, but her whole sense of being had changed quite considerably, like the way that she felt about the situation that she was in the first place. And I did remind her of that person in our first session, and she was like, I don't even know who that was. Like, genuinely don't even know who that was. She was like, I don't remember what I was getting so stressed out about, so overwhelmed about. And so, that was the initial issue that she had brought to the coaching sessions. And yet in the last session, all she kept saying was, yeah, everything's good. Everything, may have just been a good day for her, maybe a good week for her, maybe just because it was a post-Christmas break of being able to manage things a little bit differently. Lots of contributing factors, but at the same time, it wasn't the things, it wasn't the answers that she was searching for from that very first session. It was just the how she felt around the whole situation. So I didn't know if that was helpful off the back of Jane's initial thing. But yeah.
How do you think your coaching contributed to how she was in session four?
I think it was a lot to, so in session four, we worked on allowing the healthy adult self to take the lead more, because she had that evidence that it was there. You know, she had worked on that. I mean, this was, wait a minute, October, November, December, January. So it was a good 4 months. So yeah, so they were quite spaced out. So again, that was another thing that was bringing up my doubt and thinking that we hadn't worked enough. You know, in that, you know, because the sessions were so spaced out. But she was obviously doing the work in between sessions, so she had that evidence by the time we got to session four that she could have, like, her healthy adult self could take the lead. And then we just did some grounding work in that session to then, I think I did like the meet the healthy self, you know, those questions, those reflective questions, so that she could come back to that whenever she needed to then go, okay, I'm in this place. What do I need right now? What can I tell myself right now? And just, you know, use that for moving forward. So yeah, I think it was a really nice session to round off. I'm hoping that she's going to come back in, because she did say that she would like further sort of like monthly check-ins and kind of support. So I'm hoping that she's, I'm still waiting on an answer whether she's coming back to me with that. But yeah, it was a really kind of nice kind of roundup session, just to go, you have the evidence there, you can keep doing this. But yeah, I'll be kind of like in the background to support you.
How does it feel to you to have made such a difference in someone's life?
Huge. Because right at the start, I could relate to that overwhelm that she was in. You know, that situation where she was just doing, doing, doing. So I could really relate to like one of, you know, my past self. And just sort of like stay in that and go, it doesn't have to feel like that. It doesn't have to feel so out of control and out of whack.
Amazing. It's just such a treat to hear you describe that, everyone. I love it. Yeah, sounds like you had a really, ideal coaching experience with her. And how nice for Jane to hear. Okay, this is on the other side. Yeah, this is on the other side. So great, so great. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
About the spacing of sessions, like I like you just Yvonne, you just said also like spaced out quite far. And in my because the two women I'm working with right now, because it's this type of work with elements of self-belief and reflections on life, they also choose to have like every 3 weeks a session, and then we do about 2 hours. Because it's kind of like what has happened in between, how they reflected on it. And I was wondering, is that kind of too long and the distance not so nice? Or is it really like how to do this? Also how to, I don't charge yet, but if I sell packages, how do you do this that they can space it out as they want?
How might you make that decision?
I might make it? No,
Yeah.
it's just I have in my platform thing, I have a five package a 5 session package. So, and then but they are said to be like 50 minutes each or so, and then they do it just like they put just two behind each other, or they do 1 session and I just add the other one to it or something. But I was wondering in the in like as a professional way to do this, what's kind of the experience there?
So if it helps, what I would offer is with developmental coaching, it's not really a quick fix. Like that's kind of the point, is because we're not talking about solutions, we're not talking about massive shift in mindset that's really, urgent. All those kind of, the tried and true kind of coaching methods that can sometimes create a lot of stress and often inhibit development. So with developmental coaching, we're going at the pace of the client. And development takes time. We need those, like Yvonne was saying, she was doing the work in between the sessions, and depending on the pace of our lives and the availability we have to reflect on what's going on, that might take some time. So I guess as the way I tend to do it when I'm working one to one is we'll have a session at least once a month. If you're missing sessions, we'll have a conversation. Because what can happen is that you don't just lose momentum, you kind of lose a sense of connection with, yourself and this work and why you're doing it and all of that jazz. So I want to advocate on behalf of the you that signed up, by doing that. So I think as long as you're meeting up, once a month for a one-to-one client, I think that is ideal. And for some clients, that takes a lot of pressure off. I know I've worked with coaches in the past who are like, you've got to book all your sessions in right at the start. And I always found that a little tricky to manage because I'm like, well, I don't know how I'm going to feel next, this afternoon, never mind, and for Tuesday's time. And equally, I've had clients where I worked, we had a 45-minute session every week. And this was someone who a couple of people have offered that to because their availability and that kind of thing is they're just in pressured kind of environments and with lots of responsibilities. And that had some benefits because we would talk wherever they were at that time would come up. So I got to see them in, high celebration moments where things were going really well. And they were like, I don't think I need my session today. And it's like, well, let's see what we can make of that good feeling, right? What, how do we dwell in that and expand it? How do you go from great to spectacular? How do you remember and embed and integrate this emotion, this state? What were the conditions for it? All of that jazz. And I think that can sometimes be super helpful for clients. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure on us as coaches to come up with the ideal package. And I think there isn't one, right? It's about the client. But I think, what we'll usually do is, six sessions over 3 months tends to be the industry standard. For some clients, that's going to feel ideal. And for others are, that it just won't suit. So I mean, for me, I would always kind of give people the option. And you can always say, if none of these packages feel like you, get in touch and we can figure it out, And yeah, I always charge upfront, always. But I will always give payment options, which keep kind of in pace with the sessions. For programs, it's slightly different because the offer is different. But when it's one to one, you sort of and the clients I think they don't want the payments to go too much further ahead of where they're at, time wise. So that can be a kindness, particularly if they want to re-sign up with you after their first 3 6 sessions, which will often happen with development coaching. But yeah, monthly installments. It's and actually I think for me as a business owner, that has proved to unlock something for me because I'm like, okay, this is my monthly rolling income. And then I can see, oh, and it's gonna dip off here and at this period it's gonna be a little tighter. So either what can I do to manage and plan? But also, oh, this is a period of real abundance. So what can I do to, save and all of that jazz. So I think, if you can get into a good monthly income rhythm with payments, it can make life really easy for you as well. So yeah, just give it some thought, what works for you. And yeah, I love that, Vicky. It's really important to you also because you offer resources and access to me in between, that it's not one session equals one amount. Yeah.
I think that's where people get where it gets quite tricky, where people are like, well, I had two sessions, so I should be paying X fee for two sessions. And I was like, no, it's we've agreed this is the fee we're paying overall. That includes 6 hours of my time, 10 hours of my time, and for me, a bit of access to me in between. Would you like to pay that upfront or would you like to spread the cost? It's not well, I had two sessions this month, so I should be paying this month. It's just, I've just offered you a payment arrangement to make it more convenient for you, and I don't charge extra for that if that makes it more convenient for you.
And I agree. I think that can be a bit of a head shift for people who do work on an hourly rate. And you know, most of our world is organized that way. But I think it's just about the way we describe it on our invitation pages, you know. This is the whole thing that you're getting here. Really cool. And you know, it's interesting because like as you know, like I am available to you. You know, for me, this is a relationship, right? It's not a transaction. So you know, I just kind of feel like we get caught up in, you know, the money side of things in a way that is, for me, my and my values feels a little uncomfortable. Whereas I really love working with people long term. And when I'm, you know, when I look at my monthly income, it's like, well, yeah, this person stopped paying me 3 years ago because that was their payment plan completed. I'm still coaching with them or supervising them or training them or what. And it's like, but my monthly income hasn't got a relationship with that, if you get me, right? It sort of feels a bit separate to me. And it's my job to, you know, sign more clients, right? That's not your job. Otherwise, I'm making that, you know, your responsibility. So, yeah, Jay, exactly. Case in point. Yeah, totally.
And just from the other end of it, I feel like when I'm paying, like I'm on the payment plan with you, Seth, like because I am like, if I would pay at the very beginning, it would feel like, well, I should not be here anymore, or something like that, you know. But the energetic connection is really also happening all the time on the financial side. So to me, it's really a benefit if there's a payment system running that people are still on my care, you know, my clients. So I like this kind of like I do a lot of bartering. So whatever, I get a massage and then they get coaching or something like that, you know, like we support each other and it's like we are in each other's care. So I don't know the paying thing yet, but the energetic flow is still going, and that's a different feeling, and it's a quality in itself, especially also in my meditative, mindful, whatever coaching, that the energetic part is something that is felt. So that's a beautiful element, I think.
And it's I love that, and it's fascinating for me to see, like I've had several people in Self Belief School who joined 2 years ago when we opened, who have said, I feel like I don't deserve to be here anymore because my payment has finished. Can I keep paying you? And I'm like, you deserve to be here.
I've
This is
had the
the last
same because
time.
my container is a lifetime container, and I've had people join and then say to me, this feels like madness that I'm still going to be able to access this in a few years' time. And I've, you know, are you sure? Can I pay you like an annual retainer or something? And I said, but that's my offer to you. Like, that's how much I genuinely am invested in seeing it, this not be a quick fix. But this be, like you say, like a relationship that you can come anytime that I'm here, I'm a resource. If you need something, you know where to find us. And that's really important to me.
Love that so much. I think as well, I mean, it's so funny to me because I've had every single business coach I've ever worked with try and talk me out of the way I run my business. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm cool. I'm all good. And maybe, and they're like, you're leaving money on the table. That's a favorite expression. I'm like, well, you know what? My table is so full. I'm good.
And also the like the people who are still here who have learned with you in the past, they are the proof of concept, right? Because they are like blowing my mind all the time. Like when somebody says, I'm like, whoa, this is how I can be when I do this 3 more years or something. So there is like basically your skills have been like whatever, parented into us, and we are helping you make your points in some way. So that's a beautiful part of how amazing and how beneficial the system is.
Yeah, I totally buy into that too, Anka. Hey loves, we're at time. So I'm gonna end our call, but I'm just thank you so much for your presence, your brilliant questions and contributions today. So good. Vicky, we're sending you all the love to you and your lady parts. May it be a smooth entry into the world for baby shilling. Yeah.
I
Everything
think
crossed
you
for
could
you.
try the belief buster beforehand to get you in the right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, I'm just very excited for you. Do let us know if you when and if you feel like it. Let us know what all happens. Do you know what you're having?
Yes, this one's a boy.
That's very cool. Oh, so fun. All right, my loves. Take care of yourselves and I'll see you soon. Okay.
Thank you
Bye.
so much. Yeah.
Bye.